Good morning. I hope all of you are doing well and you had a wonderful and blessed week. Paul's passion for Christ is overflowing in this passage to his friends in Philippi. In this brief passage, Paul lists before us the ideal of Christ who has God's love for all humankind. Paul shares with him a beautiful early Christian hymn. Listen to what it says. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. In Jesus, we see God because in Him we encounter the saving heart of God. Jesus, our encouragement. Jesus is our joy. And Jesus is our hope each and every day, no matter where we are in life, no matter what's going on around us. Jesus is our encouragement, Jesus is our joy, and Jesus is our hope. God wasn't just about building a bridge to eternal life for us, but God was about building lives, building solid lives, building productive lives, lives that really mattered in the kingdom of God and the Spirit. God was about building hope, and God was about building purpose. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to show us what that hope and purpose was all about. So Paul tells us to have the same mind, the mind of forgiveness, the mind of reconciliation, the mind of a better tomorrow. Have the same mind that is in Christ's character as the heart of Christ. Jesus gives us a telling example of a response to God's love in this parable today about the two sons being asked to work in the vineyard. The first son tells his father outright, "I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to work in that vineyard. I'm not going to go." And if any of y'all ever had any children, you know how that sounds. The first son tells his father outright that he won't do it, but then he changes his heart and goes and does it anyway. Whereas the second son tells his father he will and then never does. It's a pretty extreme example, but it gets to the point across. Jesus tells us this to the chief priests and the elders who rejected John the Baptist and who were rejecting Jesus in order for them to be caught in their own web of deceit. So Jesus asked them, which of the two did the will of his father? Which of the two did the will of his father? Is it the one that said no at first but went? Or is it one that said yes and never went? And they know they are trapped because the answer, of course, is the first son. He ended up living his life faithfully. He didn't just talk about it or say things to appease his father. Paul tells us that we are to engage in Christ's world with three expectations in mind. And the first is about unity. We are to be unified in Christ our Lord. All of us are unified through our baptism. All of us are unified in Christ because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. All of us are unified by the shedding of His blood. All of us are unified because Christ loves us. All of us are unified because God cares. All of us are unified under our Lord. We engage in the world together, united together. We engage united in the world together. And on this day, There are millions of Christians around the world unified by the body and blood of our Lord and Savior as they partake of the communion. The second is we are to be together as disciples because of respect. In our gospel for the day, and in all of our readings, it says that we are to respect the dignity of every human being. That's our vow, especially in our baptismal vow. We are to respect the dignity of every human being. And it says, how do you do that? You do that with trust. We will not always agree with other people, but we are called to respect them as persons. And certainly in this day and time, it can be very hard to respect the dignity of every human being, especially when we look on TV and we see there are so many disagreements. There are people who are trying to work against us, work against our views, people who are just simply saying, no, you shouldn't do it this way, you need to do it that way. It can be very difficult to respect the dignity of every human being. But that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. Third, we are called to love each other with compassion. We will strive to understand other people's circumstances and respond to their needs, if possible. And that's not always easy, because sometimes we don't want to respond, or we want to blame them for their lives going bad. But we are to respond with compassion and hope for one another. These are the essential elements of being called to be a disciple: respect, compassion, and dignity. After the call comes the promise. The promise is simply this: we shall be lifted up just as Christ was lifted up. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "For this perishable body will be put on imperishability, and this mortal body must be put to immortality." And in verse 57 of the same chapter, we read, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As Christ was raised victoriously, so we shall be raised to the glory of God in Christ Jesus." And to that I say, thanks be to God. We shall receive partnership with the Savior. The promise meets the call as we engage Christ's world through active love, active care, and active forgiveness. Now, none of us are perfect here in this room. None of us have all the answers, but we are definitely called to be different. But there is hope for us. We can be like the first son and have a change of heart, or we can choose to be disobedient, be hard-hearted to God, and live in a wide, loving margin of grace. I think we're called to live and have the heart of our Lord and to live in the grace of God. So as we grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus and with each other, may there be clarity and fire in God's call to us. And may we receive the courage to do something about it. God asks for a single-minded commitment to God and God alone. God wants all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our souls to be with Christ. It is this unconditional and unreserved love for God that leads us to take care of our neighbor as an expression of our love and commitment to God. So my prayer for you is respect the dignity of every human being. Have compassion for one another. Be unified under Christ. Know that the Lord loves you and that you are saved by His grace. Amen.